Jesus' name, for our apostle, for this ever-increasing word training center, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that 2021 is going to bring a tremendous amount of blessing in our lives. I thank you for each and every student, Lord God. I thank you for the classes and for the information that's being revealed. And I thank you, Lord God, we're learning how to be men and women that walk in honor, but also, too, that we're good stewards and also loyal assistants and ministry of help workers, assisting our man of God in their vision, and by doing so, we are walking in honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. This class session, as I said, is class session number 12, and it's going to be entitled Attributes of a Loyal Assistant. Attributes of a Loyal Assistant. And we're going to still kind of deal with the same theme as we did last week as far as practical applications of honor. But in this application, we're going to be looking at applications through being a loyal assistant or ministry of helps individual. If you're not a pastor, and I know some of you are pastors, but many of you operate in the area of ministry of helps, or you assist your man of God in areas of ministry, whether it's working in the nursery, working as a parking lot attendant, working children's church, whatever, usher, you may be a praiser, but you're called alongside to assist. And there's an honor that comes to those who assist and also those who are good stewards of operating in that capacity. I want to start by reading a scripture. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 1. We're going to be reading verses 1 and 2. That's 1 Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful." And that's so very important, that we are found faithful in our stewardship. Amen. I'm going to just read something here right quick. An inexperienced person would think that somebody who's very or minorly anointed and have good oratory skills, well, that person would make a good pastor, a good preacher, or a good assistant. But that's not the case, and that's not so. The Bible says, and we just read the scripture, the Bible teaches us that the cardinal requirements for leadership is faithfulness and nothing else. And then it quotes that scripture, says, "It is required of stewards." And when I say the word stewards, I'm also talking about people who assist. And the word assist also encompasses the word ministry of helps. So it is required of somebody in the ministry of helps or someone who assists or who's a steward that that person be found faithful. If you work in the ministry of helps, you fall under the qualifications of an assistant to your pastor. An assistant is one who's called to help their pastor to fulfill the vision and the assignment that God has called them to. The pastor is the visionary, or the apostolic leader is the visionary. You know, let me start off with the apostolic leader. He's the visionary, and he has pastors under him. Every pastor should have an apostle that they submit to and they are lined up under so that the flow of anointing could come down properly. So that's very important that we understand that. You know, so an assistant is one called to help the pastor in fulfilling the vision and the assignment that God has called him to. Our job as minister of helps is to assist our man of God in fulfilling the calling that God's called him to. As an assistant is one who follows orders and comes down from the pastor. And that's so very important that we understand that we follow instruction, follow orders that comes down from our pastor. And as I said earlier, I'm going to use the word assistant and minister of helps interchangeably a lot in this teaching. So if I say assistant, I'm actually meaning ministry of helps or a steward, okay? The assistant dedicates himself to serve their pastor who has called by God in the office of a pastor. As I said, he's the visionary. And the ministry of helps persons give legs to the vision. They're the ones that go out and do the work of the ministry. Amen. They're being fed by their pastor. Their pastor is being poured into by an apostolic leader, by an apostle. And once they, like in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be having ministers conference, and it's going to be virtual. But we're going to have an apostle that's going to be feeding us and pouring into ministers and pastors, so that the pastors can now go back to their congregation and feed the flock of God. You know, and it's so very important that flow of anointing goes in that direction, because that's the only way it flows. And then those who are close to the pastor, who've been called into the ministry of helps to be loyal assistants, they're the ones now that do the work of the ministry and put legs to the vision, as I stated earlier, and that's how the ministry will flourish. I want to read another scripture. Proverbs 27 and 18, and I'm going to read this from the King James Version. Proverbs 27 and 18, it says, "Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth or serves his master shall be honored." Now, one of the things I want to keep the tie of the spirit of honor in all of this, and this scripture ties it all together. Reading it again. "Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waited or serves his master shall be honored." So when you serve your man of God, you shall be honored. So serving or servitude or stewardship produces honor. And this goes with this theme of application. Apostle blessed me this past Sunday when he started ministering. He started to talk about application of the word. It says one thing to know it, it's one thing to be taught the word, but until you begin to apply it, we talked about this last week, and that's really what blessed me, because last Monday I brought the word application in, and then Sunday he brought it in, and I said, wow. So I know I'm on the right track. Here's a good point. I'm really passing up some things, and I'm moving this up front, but a good steward will follow in the lead and the direction of their man of God. If their man of God is going in a particular direction, you need to go in the same direction. You know, so when he used the word application, and I know, and I, as I stated last week, you know, the principles of honor are relatively simple in the natural, but until you begin to put it into practice on a daily basis, week after week, month after month, year after year, and apply it in your everyday life, you'll never receive the benefits of honor. So my goal is to empower you and give you the tools you need, and encourage you to begin to apply the principles that's going to keep you walking and flowing in honor, so that the blessings of God will profusely abound in your life, and not only your life, but your family's life. Let's move on. Proverbs 27 and 18, this is the Message Bible. It says, "If you care for the orchard, you will enjoy the fruits. If you honor your boss or your pastor, you'll be honored." So if you care for the orchard, in other words, the garden, the ministry of helps worker, those are the ones who should be receiving the harvest, the benefits, and the blessings of their assistance, their loyalty, their faithfulness, their stewardship to their pastor. Okay, let's look at what the Amplified Bible says. It says, "Whoever tends the fig tree shall eat the fruit. So he that patiently and faithfully guards and heeds his master shall be honored." That's so very important, that you patiently guard. There's such a thing as guarding or protecting the anointing that's on your pastor or your man of God. That's vital. Give you some examples of just protecting the anointing. One of the things that apostle very seldom does is when a member have a loved one who probably have went home to be with the Lord, and you know, they let the pastor know. Instead of him going himself, he'll appoint one of his assistants, somebody in the ministry of helps, one of his master vision bearers who are called alongside to help him put legs, or they're putting legs to the vision, to go and to represent him in that particular capacity. Because a lot of times, and I hate to say it, but it's just a fact, a lot of local ministries don't understand what was taking place at Word of Life Christian Center. And instead of coming and seeing for themselves, they take hearsay, and a lot of times they aren't quite, I don't want to use the word fond of what we're doing, but they criticize it. And when an apostle goes to some events or, you know, to a funeral to represent a minister, a lot of times they'll actually criticize him from the pulpit. It's happened before. So to keep him and to protect his anointing and to keep him, you know, walking in love and not having to go through that, he'll send an assistant. There have been times I've went several times, you know, never had any issues, but I understand him sending those who he can appoint, who knows his heart, and I'm getting ahead of myself, knows his agenda to represent, and having members who understand, you know, that he's given himself constantly to the Word of God and prayer, and he has people appointed and a process appointed where there's people who can go in his stead, and that's so very important. Okay, in the King James, I'm sorry, in the NIV version of that same verse, and I'm trying to move along quickly. It says, "The one who grants a fig tree, the one who guards a fig tree will eat the fruit. Whosoever protects their master shall be honored." So here it uses the word protect. By protecting your master, you shall be honored. You must understand protocol in ministry, the ranks in ministry, and the importance of submitting to delegated authority that's over you. You must understand the concept as one man and being a partner in destiny. Example, let me give you an example. Many members in the body of Christ serve a vital role that is equally important to the pastor. You know, what I do, in ministry or in the ministry of helps, I don't take it lightly. I don't take my assignments lightly. Because my assignments come down from my man of God. And whatever I'm given assignment, it's vital that I carry it out and that I do it with a spirit of excellence, loyalty, commitment, and devotion. Because I know my blessing is hinged on my faithfulness and my willingness to submit to my man of God and carry out the vision that God's called us to. Okay, let me read this, and this is something you're going to need to know. A good assistant is like a tree planted by the rivers of water, rooted into the very heart of the ministry. They shall not be moved away from the ministry God has called them to. They shall not be moved. Read it again. A good steward is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Going back to Proverbs 1 and 3. Rooted into the very heart of the ministry. You need to be rooted into the very heart of the man of God and the ministry God has called you to. They shall not be moved away from the ministry that God's called them to. They shall not be moved. Their roots are planted deep into the soil of the ministry they are called to. This is so vital. Or this is life-giving. Over the last 32 years or so that I've been a member of Word of Life, the blessing, not only in my life, but in my family's life, in everything that I set my hand to do, I'm beginning to see some fruition and some manifestations. I've always saw the manifestation, but it's coming now in a greater capacity after those years. And that, you know, I recognize that it's attributed to sticking with your assignment, going and finding the man of God God's called you to, staying rooted and grounded. You know, as that scripture stated, you know, you know, planted by the rivers of water. You know, I tell people your feet need to be planted in the ministry God's called you to. You know, I believe with all my heart, and I've said this before, that God will call you to a particular brook. And that brook, you know, flowing water, will sustain you. God sent Elijah to a particular brook, to a certain brook, and he sustained Elijah. God will sustain you. And that's why it's so very important just not to join any church, but make sure this is where God called you to. I remember specifically when God spoke to my heart and told me, this is where you need to be. You know, I've said this before and I've told you that I'm a repeater, but what that does, that solidifies my assignment. And it keeps me in remembrance of what God has said. So when I'm about my Father's business, I know God has appointed me here. He set me here under Apostle Thompson to assist and to serve. And I recognize that there is a blessing for that. All right? Let me read Psalms 1 and 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that shall bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit, or bringeth forth harvest in his season. Well, when you're planted in the ministry God's called you to, you're going to bring forth a harvest in your season. And whatsoever you do, the scripture says, is going to prosper because the blessing is flowing down. Amen. And I stated earlier, God will lead you to a certain brook, and there he's going to sustain you. Another principle, key principle point I want you to remember. A good assistant in ministry can be compared to a good ambassador or an ambassador of a country. He does not push his own ideas, his own vision, or agenda. All right, listen up. But only those of his home country or his pastor or his church. The pastor and the vision of the ministry that he's called to. So a good assistant can be compared to a good ambassador of a country. And that ambassador only emphasizes, pushes, or brings forward the agendas of his country or of his president or whoever he's representing. So with that said, no matter where I go, as a good assistant, my job is to represent my man of God. Anytime I'm going in any kind of ministerial capacity, I recognize I am on an assignment, and that assignment is to complete the mission that God has sent me to, and I'm representing Word of Life. It is my ministry because I'm a part of it, but I know I'm not the visionary, but I'm following the vision. A good assistant in ministry can also be compared to a good wife. Listen up. He must not only obey instruction, but also must genuinely support and flow with the head who is his pastor. He must not be one with an independent spirit or to be difficult or a controlling person like a Vestai. Vestai in the Bible, she tried to control her husband. Jezebel was another one. You know, they had their own personal agendas. You know, Corinth, who was during the day of Moses, he opposed Moses, you know, because he thought that he could lead just as well as Moses. God only calls one person as a pastor of a church, and he calls apostles over regions to be a governing ruler over pastors, you know. And so one of the things I want to point out, I'm getting ahead of myself, the church is not a democracy. The church is not a democracy. The church is a theocracy. In other words, God in charge, and God will appoint apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to fulfill their God-given visions, their God-given assignments, you know, and so it's God's rule. It's not a democracy where the majority rule. Is God in charge, and he appoints a pastor, you know, and that's why I always tell people, you know, you never want to second guess your pastor, you know, you never want to challenge them, because in essence, you're challenging and you're questioning God. You know, if your pastor is under an apostle, you know, the apostle will, if he walks out of line or something, gets not in alignment like it should, he's the one that gets it back into alignment. When my car gets out of alignment, I bring it to the car dealership who knows what they're doing, and they have the instruments to align those tires. So when I let go of the steering wheel, as long as the road is straight, my car should be going straight. You know, so it's so very important that the pastor, you know, if they're out of order a little bit or things, the apostle got to inform him, or and he'll get word, and he'll help make the adjustments to keep everything back in track, and that's why we should stay in track, and that's why we should flow as one man. Amen. Let me move on. If you're not faithful with another man's ministry, do not expect to have in anything or a ministry of your own. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? This takes loyalty in service to whom God has called you to serve under, you know, and that's over. And see, that brings honor. That's applying it on a daily basis. I believe that the gifts and the callings of God, you know, are without repentance, and that the ministry of helps, you know, being called to be an assistant is a calling. Just as important as being a pastor, you know, evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher. It's a calling, you know, and there's a special grace that's placed upon an individual to fulfill that calling. Let me read something from, I just quoted Romans 11 and 29, that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. So if you're in the ministry of helps, and I'm going to read a scripture that kind of verifies that, hey, that, you know, God preordained and predestinated things before the foundations of the world, you know, so he preordained you in the ministry of helps. I can remember, I got 15 minutes, I can remember years ago, I'm just on page 4 and I got 12 to go, but we'll work through it. When I was a student at Southern, I was over a campus ministry. But I didn't, we had a Christmas program that we did where we brought in some local ministers, some praise and worship people, and we called it like a Christmas cantata, but ministry was involved and praise and worship was involved. And myself, Ashley, and my wife had coordinated a good bit of the whole, you know, program. But other people were up front, you know, I guess emceeing it or presiding over it. And I was in the back of the auditorium watching how things were flowing, making sure that everything was done and was on schedule and what have you. And for a brief period of time, my heart got a little heavy. And because sometimes the enemy will come and he'll just inject some poison. And what happened was the thought came to me, you should be the one up there because you coordinated everything. You called the ministers. You went to Radio Shack and ensured we had enough mics and enough PA equipment and whatever we needed. You made it happen. But then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came and spoke to my heart. He says, I've called you to be in the background. So you're not going to always be up front. He says, and don't think being in the background is a lesser, what's the word I want to use, a lesser assignment. Because you help whoever is doing what they're doing do it successfully because you're doing things that they don't have to do so they could put all their attention in that area of a minister or a pastor to the ministry of the word and prayer. You know, you clean the sanctuary. You make sure that the bills are paid. You make sure that all of the workings of the ministry fall into place. Just imagine if your pastor had to do all of that. Let me move on. Let me read the scripture. But the Lord showed that to me, and from that day forth, I never had an issue with my assignment. Not one bit. Amen. Okay, Ephesians 1. I'm going to probably read Ephesians 1, 3 through 5. It says, bless be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen or picked us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. This is the key part I want to read. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. God predestinated or pre-planned you to be not only to be adopted into his family, but also according to the good pleasure of his will. And God's will is for you to operate in the assignment that he's called you to. And you know what it is, because there's going to be an anointing when you function. I mean, people who are praise leaders and who flow in that anointing, it's evident that God has gifted them for that assignment. But that same person may not be able to do other things. You know, I've been involved in, prison ministry for right at 30 years. You know, there was an anointing for that. At first, I didn't think I could do it. But once I stepped out in faith, because as I stated probably several times before, the apostle, I went in his office one day to ask a question. He answered my question. And while I was walking, he said, "No, sit back down. You're in here for another reason." And I started to tremble. I said, I didn't think I did anything wrong. And he says, I want you to start getting involved in the prison ministry with two other brothers who was already involved. And I want you to do whatever they tell you to do. I said, "Yes, sir." I walked out of his room and my knees buckled. And I said, I don't think I can do this. But I said, "If my man of God has enough confidence in me to appoint me into prison ministry, Lord, you're just going to have to help me." I've been doing it for 30 years. Practically, I've been a member for about 32 years. You know, so I guess the point I want to emphasize is the importance of sticking with that assignment. And you know, I've seen well over 100, 120 people or so come through prison ministry. We've seen thousands of people get saved, get set free. A lot of people have gotten out. Some have joined the church. Some have been through the school of ministry. You know, it's been a tremendous blessing simply because of obeying and following and being a loyal assistant in the ministry of helps. Let me move on. If God has not called you to stand in the office of an assistant or ministry of helps worker, do not put yourself in that position, because it's going to be frustrating and it's going to be difficult, because there is a certain grace to serve in the ministry of helps. Ask God, and you know, the Bible says, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give to all men liberty and unabraded not." So ask God, and God will help you and guide you in that particular area. All right, so what I want to do now is give you some points. I got 10 minutes left exactly. I want to give you some pointers or some key points in assistant. Okay, as an assistant or ministry of health person, always mention your pastor often and always in a favorable light. Always acknowledge him when you're ministering to others. Make mention of him often and always in a favorable light. Whenever I minister at a church or away from the church in prison ministry, I always acknowledge my apostle as my spiritual father, my pastor, and my covering. You know, I don't get up anywhere that I'm ministering in any capacity without first acknowledging my head. What that does, it aligns you properly. So where you have Jesus being the head of the church, your apostle or your pastor who's getting the flow of anointing from heaven to earth, and then you're under your pastor or your apostle getting the instruction you need to fulfill the work that God's called you to do. That's vital. That's life-giving. You know, whenever I minister at a church, I always, you know, a prison minister, I always acknowledge my apostle, you know, in everything. This helps to keep me in alignment, as I just said, with him and the assignment, and allows the grace that's upon him to come upon me when I minister. When they see that you're connected with your pastors, I never minister anywhere without first getting, number one, his approval, his blessing, and his permission. There have been times I've been asked to minister. One time I was asked to minister for a first cousin who's a Methodist minister. I called in. I asked, you know, told what the situation was. They said, well, we'll let Apostle know and we'll get back with you. One day passed. I didn't hear anything. 2 days passed. I didn't hear anything. I think 3 or 4 days passed. I didn't hear anything. But as I began to pray in my heart, you know, the Lord told me, you know, you don't need to do that. You know, Apostle never got back with me. And it aligned up what was already in my spirit. I didn't want to disappoint her, but my assignment was completely different from her assignment. I don't think her congregation might have been even ready to hear some of the things that might have came out of my mouth, you know. And I one of the things I never want to do is to cause a disruption. You know, if I don't know what the flow going in your church is, I'd rather not interject something that they're not used to hearing. Because a baby can't eat a steak. Bottom line, I'll leave that alone. Okay, they'll not only will they get upset stomach, it probably will you know, you might have to. No, anyway, let's move on. Okay. Number two, quote your pastor as often as possible. As I said earlier, you're actually acting as an ambassador when you represent your pastor. Those who are ministering need to see the connection you have with your pastor or your apostle. Always acknowledge your head, your pastor, and your church. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, always acknowledge. Whenever I go to minister, I always say, I'm representing Apostle Thompson, pastor of World Life Christian Center. You know, he's my covering. And what, like I said, that keeps me in connection, okay? There must be a certain level of respect and admiration you have for your pastor. Do not use your pastor as an illustration for a bad example or a bad joke. You must always state it, never speak badly about a man of God. You must speak of your pastor as someone to be admired and followed. I never forget the illustration one that Pastor Forbes, Dr. Forbes, stated when he first got hooked up with Apostle. A lot of times Apostle would see him somewhere, instead of calling him, you know, Dr. Forbes, he would just say, Forbes. And at first David said, ugh, but David recognized, hey, I've been called to serve this man. I apologize. Pastor Forbes recognized, I've been called to serve Apostle. You know, he can call me whatever he wants. As long as I know he's speaking to me, that's all that matters. And that's all that matters. You know, sometimes a man of God will do something to kind of ruffle your feathers just to see just how faithful and how committed you are. You know, humbling yourself. You know, I could care less what Apostle called me. You know, as long as I'm faithful and the blessing is continuing to flow and I'm in my assignment, I know God is well pleased. Let me move on. Let me go to number three. Genuinely admire your pastor and praise him often. If you do not admire your pastor, you should not be working in the ministry of helps or sitting under him in the first place. If you are a good assistant or ministry of helps worker, you will see the wisdom in the decisions that he makes. You will admire the way he preaches and the revelation he brings forth. A bad assistant or ministry of helps person is full of contempt, criticism from all that the pastor does. People receive best from those they admire and respect. This is a secret in catching the anointing that's on a man's. Respect, admire, and those things are simple, but you can't let nothing come in between you and him. Last week I talked about never becoming too familiar with your man of God, never thinking that you and him on the same level, or you know, y'all grew up together, or you know his family, and you feel like you have some type of privilege. No, you don't have no privilege. You know, you don't have no privilege. Let me move on. Honor your pastor's wife as well. Bless her by giving her gifts and sowing into her life as well. Honor the first lady. You know, that's apostolic. You honor the first lady. Take note of anybody who doesn't respect the pastor's wife. It is an important sign to me that they do not respect the pastor. If you do not receive his wife, you're not receiving him, because the two are one. God called them both together. You know, so, and not only just the pastor and his wife, you honor the first family. I remember last week I talked about Dr. Leroy Thompson Sr. My wife and I went into him, and he shared some things with us that we needed to hear. And I had prepared a seed in my pocket, but because we were talking about family and things, it just kind of slipped my mind. But because I had a good wife who's faithful, she looked at me and said, "You're forgetting something." I said, "Oh, yeah." I reached down and I grabbed that seed and I sowed it, you know, because I honor the first family. And anytime somebody's speaking to my life, you know, always be prepared with a seed. Let me move on, because I only have 2 minutes. When you are called to minister to the church members, let them know that you're going and you're actually doing this on behalf of the pastor, and not on your own behalf. Whenever I'm given an assignment to go to minister to somebody in the hospital, at home, or in any situation, I let them know that, you know, I'm coming in behalf of apostle. You know, he sent me. Now, he might have not was the one who told me directly, but it might have been Dr. Montrell, Dr. Leroy Jr., Brother Ronald, who's ever on staff. But I recognize delegated authority, and I'm going to flow in it because I know the importance of it. Amen? All right. Always remind the congregation, they should already know this, that you're not the pastor. A lot of times people will praise you and give you accolades, you know, but I always let them know where I got it from. You know, I just thank God that because of my association with Apostle, you know, I'm able to share this, you know, and if there's any credit need to be given, you know, I thank God for him. And I know he thanks God, you know, for the revelation knowledge that God has given him. A good assistant tells the admiring congregation where he has learned the things that he knows. Amen. Proverbs 18 and 12 says, "Before the downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor." You know, so basically, always stay small in your own eyes. Never let your heart be lifted up with pride or arrogance or anything of that nature. Because it says here that your downfall, this is the NIV of Proverbs 18 and 12. You know, before the downfall, the heart is haughty or full of pride. But humility comes before honor. All right? A good loyal assistant does not discuss with the pastor or the church members on how the church should be run, but submits to and accepts the decisions from the pastor. You know, it's not a debate. As I said, it's not a democracy. And my time is up. I got about a minute or two. It's not a democracy. It's a theocracy. So whatever the man of God says goes. I'm not in the position to argue or dispute it. All right. A good loyal assistant asks the pastor's approval and blessing before he goes anywhere to minister to another church. And I already shared that. Amen. That's very important. And lastly, one of the most important things you need to know in regards to your pastor is to know his heart. Know your pastor's heart. That's vital, that you know your man of God's heart. By that I mean, as you sit and spend time with him, you'll know how he flows. What's dear to him need to be dear to you. You know, and the only way you'll know that is by attending service. Attending, if you're in the school of ministry, you know, whatever function, when he's going, traveling right now, we're in a pandemic, but while you can watch him on YouTube, know your pastor's heart. Alexis, stop. That's telling me it's time for me to stop. We'll continue next week, class. You be blessed, and I'll see you.